It's just warm.
It's just warm. It's not too hot.
Is it ever really too hot?
Ooh, man, I'd say it's getting close, but we'll take it one day at a time, right?
It's June. It's Phoenix. It's hot.
And John Jay's mom says it's thundering in Prescott. I'm just going to hang on that hope right there. I'm just going to hang on that hope.
Our affiliate, Ken Byers in KQ&A, host of the morning on The Mix, he said there's actually a microburst in downtown, and they lost a few trees out of the courtyard square.
Oh.
Yeah, like 180 trees there, apparently.
Yeah, man.
That microburst got a few of them.
Wow. Well.
It's coming.
Yeah. The love-hate relationship with the monsoon. We love the rain and the moisture, but the damaging wind and lightning can cause some problems.
And until it gets here, it's just water, water, and water. I mean, no matter what amount of water I'm pouring on my lawns right now, and I'm keeping up with the fertilizer content, and I'm keeping the fertilome weed out, keeping the spurge under control, you can't give your lawn enough water right now, I don't think.
Pretty hard to overwater anything, and I tell folks that when we go over 110, if you had your watering schedule pretty well figured out, you need to figure it out again.
Yeah,
because
man.
you just almost have to look at your plants every day. And when you have super low humidity and really high temperatures, and then if you get any wind or breeze or anything with that at all, it just sucks the moisture out, and the plants almost can't pump water out of the ground fast enough to replace the moisture. That's why mulching is so important. Having the right plants, you know, we get back to things like ash trees. There was a time when we planted trees in yards with grass, and we sprinkled and flood irrigated, and we used bubblers instead of drip irrigation, and we landscaped differently. We used a lot more water than we use now.
Oh, yeah.
That there are becoming certain trees that probably are not as suitable for our landscape as they once were. I think ash trees are a victim of that. Queen palms are another one that we very rarely see going into new landscapes now because there's so many issues with them, with the way we landscape. It's not really the tree's fault. It's just we don't landscape the same way. So we don't water the same way. So they just are not suitable any longer for that type of a landscape.
They are evolving their way out of the design palette.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Let's say mulberries.
Well, mulberries got evolved out legislatively. They didn't have much choice in that. Say, olives and mulberries were told to leave.
Yeah, they're against a lot of plant. You know that, Romy, right? Are you familiar with that?
Nope, they're not against the law to plant.
Oh, they're against
the law to sell. They're against the law to sell.
Oh,
yes, sir.
In Arizona.
No, not even in all of Arizona. It's you know, the cities in Maricopa County and Pima County. So you can buy. So I just can't sell one to you. If you can buy one somewhere and plant
it's non-fruiting anyway. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If you have a question for John J. Harper, I'm going to do this. It seems like the rollover number is kind of holding up after line two. So try this number as well if you're getting a busy signal, 602-277-5827. 277-5827. Casey, good morning. Good morning, sir, and welcome to the program.
Oh, never mind. I'm going
to do this. He's talking. Casey.
He's got his radio on.
Okay, I shut it down.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. I have planted three citrus trees in my yard back in 2000, a grapefruit, a lemon, and an orange tree. They all have been bearing fruit. Now, my grapefruit tree usually was only bearing, I don't know, maybe a dozen grapefruits. It's not a real big bearer of fruit in the previous years. Now, all of a sudden, this year, I'm seeing quite a bit more grapefruit on it, but, like, all my leaves are yellow on it, and I'm kind of concerned because my orange tree, my lemon tree, they have just beautiful green leaves and bearing the same amount of fruit, but I'm concerned, is there something I need to do because my grapefruit tree, all the leaves are yellow. I don't know what's going on, but I've got all kinds of grapefruit on it.
Well, if every tree, every leaf on the tree is yellow, then, you know, I would think it's probably, and you're watering it the same as you've always watered it and watering it the same as the other two citrus trees, and perhaps there's, you know, a nutritional problem. It might need a little extra fertilizer. Without seeing what you're saying is yellow, I mean, yellowing can mean different things depending on, you know, how it's yellow. Is it yellow with green veins in the leaf? Is the whole leaf yellow? Is it more yellow at the top or the bottom? It sounds odd, but those can all mean different things and be from different reasons. So without seeing it, I would say probably start with a little bit of fertilizer, small amounts of a good citrus fertilizer, and do it maybe monthly, just a little bit extra to that tree, and see if that doesn't help green it up. Your best scenario, and I'm sorry, what part of town is he in?
Gilbert.
In Gilbert, would be to take some leaves of your grapefruit tree that's yellow into a local nursery in your area. In Gilbert, you have A&P Nursery. You know, we're not that far to Mesa. There's Greenfield Citrus Nursery over in Mesa. So Harper's, Greenfield, or A&P in the Gilbert Mesa area would be able to look at your leaves and maybe direct you whether it needs iron, nitrogen, or maybe it's a watering issue.
There you go, Casey. Appreciate the call. Laura needs some help identifying a plant. Good morning, ma'am. Welcome to the program.
Hey there. Okay, when I first moved here years ago, there were these palm trees that were short and squat and to the ground. They looked like a pineapple, and they were called, I thought, pineapple palms. But I've never been able to find them, and I must be using the wrong name.
Well, we still sometimes lovingly refer to Canary Island date palms or ornamental date palms as pineapple palms. They are Canary Island or Phoenix canariensis is generally the palm that, because the trunk, when the leaves, the fronds are pruned close to the trunk and pruned up, the trunk looks somewhat like a pineapple. So, but that's the palm you're looking for, is Canary Island date palm.
And where can she find those? I mean, will any nursery have them?
Most nurseries should have. I'm sorry, where again in town is
she? I don't have an address
okay.
on her.
Most nurseries should have them. Maybe just changing the name. Maybe some of these new hotshot guys at some of these new nurseries don't know them by the old
old school
lovingly named pineapple palm.
So you'd have
Canary
to find,
Island date palm.
You'd have to find it like at Harper's Nursery that's been there 65 years, or Barry's Nursery that's been there 75 years.
They certainly would have them, I'm sure. And we have lots of them. You know, the thing we like about them is they are a true desert palm. The cold didn't affect them. The heat doesn't affect them too much. They don't get super big. So it's a pretty good palm.
All right, we talked about pavers earlier. We're going back to that topic with Greg and Buckeye. Welcome to the program. And I'm going to do this, 602-277-5827. We'll stick with that number. The 800's only letting one line in at a time. As soon as we gave out that 602, all five lines lit
Boom.
Up. So let's use that one for today, 602-277-5827. Greg and Buckeye, welcome.
All right, good morning. Thank you. Hey, listen, I'm getting ready to do my backyard landscape, and I'm going to use some pavers to kind of extend out around my patio a little bit. And I plan on using just one of those prefab edging things to kind of hold that all together. But then I want to carry the pavers out as a border around my grass area. So my question is, do I have to pour like a concrete footer to set these pavers in, or should I use the pre-made edging, or how do you actually attach that stuff so it sticks to the ground and doesn't break up?
Okay, well, I suppose you could use an extruded curb to lay your bed of concrete to set the pavers in, but back in the old days when we used to just use red brick as edging, you just kind of, you dig just a little bit of a trench and you lay some mortar in there and you set your bricks in there as you go, and then you go back in and you grout in between once you've got it all laid out. So if I think that would be probably the easiest way to do it.
Boy, there's a lot of opportunities on that. I would tell you to stick with the paver locking border that comes with whatever paver you're buying. It looks a little bit more consistent. And I'll tell you what, I want you to get into Border Marvel over there at 75th Avenue Northern. 87th Avenue.
I think
Avenue.
It's Thunderbird and about 67th.
Okay, or go to Superlight right there on Turney and 27th
right
Avenue.
Right off of Grand at the overpass.
And take a look at the different applications, okay? Right there at Superlight is where they're actually making the pavers, and they've got a beautiful display garden there with it all demonstrated. I would tell you to strongly think about covering your concrete with an overlay paver and then just continuing it out with a regular paver beyond the concrete slab. It is going to give you a fabulous look. It's going to expand the backyard like you never dreamed possible, and you're going to have pavers to take care of on the surface as opposed to concrete. I promise you, in 10 or 15 years, you're going to walk down to this station, you're going to buy me my favorite cup of coffee and donut and say, Rosie, you were exactly right. 15 years ago, you told me to go pavers the whole way, and man, I'm glad I did.
Man. Aren't you a hard date? Cup of coffee for a thank you?
Bellegarde pavers. And I tell you what, now they've got a new lighter color called Noche, and it doesn't get hot. And I'll tell you what, that's the only paver I would put in my backyard.
Okay. I haven't seen that.
The light colored Bellegarde Noche.
Okay. Yeah,
virtually zero maintenance, no heat sink situation. Put it in a permeable application, and baby, you got it made.
Greg, we appreciate the call. Let's move to Christy and talk about jacarandas. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. I have a jacaranda, and about 3 to 4 years ago, we had a really bad frost, and it really hurt the tree a lot. I have a lot of foliage now, but not one flower since then. Is it ever going to flower again?
Well, it depends on how many times it keeps freezing. Of course, we had another hard freeze this last January. Hard to be talking about a freeze just a few months ago when it's this warm, but that's what happens to those trees that bloom on that new growth out at the ends. When we freeze hard, you know, it kills those terminal ends, and they have to regrow all new ends, and a lot of times that new growth doesn't happen quick enough for them to flower. So all you can do is hope that we don't have another hard freeze in the next year or two, and then it should start blooming again.
There you go. Appreciate the call. And what would be something maybe a little bit hardier for frost but still drought tolerant as an alternative for Christy?
Well, desert willow is a wonderful flowering tree that's not cold sensitive and very heat tolerant, and they bloom all summer long.
Well, Susie's got a question about a fig tree. Teresa's got a question about a sago palm and hibiscus, and there's a line open for you at 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. But we're going to jump away for a quick break. We'll be back right after this.